good evening.
Okay, I think I'm ready now. Good to see all of you this evening. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Ooh. Psalm 23. If you would, out of respect for the word of God, would you please stand? Psalm 23. The word of God, let us hear it together. Am I good? Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. I hope I don't have to clear my throat all night. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And in your light, we see light. And how we ask you now, O great God, O our heavenly Father, O our glorious King, how we ask you now that you would give us light and that your word would indeed be our counselor. Help and strengthen. Help me to speak. Help me to speak with the tongue of the learned. Help me to be an encouragement to your people this evening. And we pray above all else that Jesus Christ, our great King, would be magnified. Now hear our cry. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I better put this over here. The psalmist. The psalmist sees the covenant-making God as shepherd. He holds to the fact that Yahweh, the great Jehovah, is his actual shepherd, his continual shepherd, and his personal shepherd. By saying this, the psalmist implies that he is a sheep. As such, he acknowledges his dependency upon another. The sheep need the shepherd. That dependency is found in his all-sufficient shepherd. The shepherd is all-sufficient. The shepherd is all sufficient because the shepherd is self-sufficient. You see that? The shepherd that David has, if David is the one that wrote the psalm, the shepherd that David has is all sufficient and he's self-sufficient. He needs nothing. No thing. But do we actually see the same thing that David sees God as self-sufficient and all-sufficient? Do we actually believe that God can and want to meet our every need? Can, we don't doubt his ability, and want to meet our every need? Maybe I should put it in another question this way. Is he enough Or do we need something more? It's almost like that statement Philip made to Jesus. I think I said in a few messages back, John chapter 14. He said, show us the Father and that suffices us. That's enough for us. And Jesus said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? If you've seen me, you don't need to see anything else. It's enough. You've seen the Father. Is God enough for us, or do we need something else? Do we need more? See, the psalmist shepherd stands in need of nothing because the shepherd has everything. And since he has everything, the psalmist says, verse 1, I lack nothing. No thing. This shepherd then is immovable, unchangeable, and reliable. That's a good shepherd. So the psalmist acknowledges his complete satisfaction in his shepherd when he says, I shall not want. I won't lack anything. So last time we looked at three essentials for our well-being. Proper eating, or dieting, you may say, proper exercising, and proper resting. We need all three of those things. Physically, we need those things. If we lack one of those things, you can eat right and not sleep or not rest well, and you still would be in bad shape. You may be able to function, but pretty much you are in bad shape. You can function that way for a time, but you can't function that way always. We need proper eating, a good, balanced diet. Sometimes things that are actually good for us don't taste too good. Maybe you haven't had that experience. When I was coming up, my mom used to fix. She's not watching, I don't think, so I could say this. My mom used to fix spinach. And I did not like spinach. I hated spinach. But in the Simmons household, when you sat down at the table, you had to eat everything, especially vegetables. And I would sit down and all my other siblings, they would be done. And I would sit there and I would just stare at the spinach, peck at it a little bit. My mom would come back and say, if you have to sit there all day, you are going to eat the spinach because it's good for you. I just didn't have the taste buds for spinach. I did not. But my mom tricked me. She used what I'm calling parental ingenuity. Don't go and watch this. She showed me an episode of Popeye the Sailor Man. And Popeye would eat some spinach and he would get stronger and his muscles would pop up and get bigger. And not only that, he would be able to defeat this big man called Brutus, and then he would capture his me olive oil. I said, wow, I need to eat spinach. So that's what my mom used to get me to eat spinach. And to this day, I still eat spinach. Even though some things don't taste good to you, it does not mean it's not good for you. We have to have a proper diet because we need it, because it's best for us. Not only do we need to eat physically, but we need also to eat spiritually. And I think the psalmist, as some commentators said, he's just talking about physical, and it could be. I just don't think so. We need to eat spiritually. Jesus said, man cannot and shall not live by bread alone. Notice, we need bread, but not bread alone. But every word that proceedeth forth or comes from, goes forth from the mouth of God. We need a feast of the diet of the word of God. we are going to be somewhat healthy. We ought to come and do what Psalm 81 says. I think it's verse 10. The Lord said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. That's what we need. It is our spiritual health. Is it for our spiritual health and for our eternal well-being? We have to have the bread of the word. We have to have the meat of the word. We have to have the milk of the word. We have to have the water of the word. We have to have the word. We have to be able to feed on it if we are going to have a proper diet and if we're going to grow. God has never given us his word for us to remain stagnant. Let me just say that a different way. God has never given us his word for us to back up. God has never given us his word for us just to stay the same. Never. He's given us his word so that we may grow. Grow and grow up in Jesus Christ. We were never designed to be in spiritual onesies all of our days. That's what my wife would say. Hey, it's time to put on your big boy clothes. Growing up. This bread is sustainable bread. It's needed bread. It's sufficient bread. It's the living bread. We have to have the word of God. We have to eat physically and we have to eat spiritually. We have to have it. Not only do we need proper eating or dieting, we need proper exercising. We have to exercise as well. Remember three, eating, exercising, resting. You got to have those three things. Those in the medical and fitness world recommend you need about 2.5 hours of exercise per week. That's not much. It's like 30 minutes a day. For 5 days a week. 30 minutes. The least you should do is at least 30 minutes of exercise. That's the recommendation. Also, it's been noticed. It's been shown and even proven. Pastors got to be careful of stuff like this. Long period of sitting has a negative impact on your health. Remember when the doctor told me 4 years ago, he said, you sit too long. I said, what? He said, you sit too long. You need to get up and walk. Don't sit for long periods of time. It has a negative impact on your health and on your longevity. We need physical exercise. And you said, but brother, are we talking about the shepherd? What does all this have to do with Psalm 23, right? Everything. Everything. If we don't take care of ourselves physically, we're not going to be much use for the shepherd. Did you hear what I just said? If we don't take care of ourselves physically, we're not going to be much use for the shepherd. Just like we need physical exercise to maintain good health, and we need spiritual exercise to maintain good health as well. A word that we eat. We need to work it out. Spiritual exercise. The word that we eat, we need to work it out. Paul said to Timothy, exercise yourself. Exercise yourself. Train even yourself unto godliness. Or to the Philippians, that they should work out their salvation with fear and trembling. It's work. He didn't say work for. He's to work out. And he can say work out if something has been worked in. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out what has been placed in you. We need proper eating, proper exercising, and proper resting. So we come back to the shepherd's provision for his sheep, part two. First thing the psalmist has told us is that what he doesn't lack is rest. That's verse 2. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd provides rest for the sheep because it is needed. needed. We saw this concept, as I said, in your first clause of verse 2, he maketh me to lie down, is wrapped up in those words. It literally means to stretch out. The sheep would stretch out because of the confidence it has in the shepherd. As long as the shepherd is nearby, there is confidence. There is a sense of security. That should actually stirs our hearts in a real sense. Jesus himself said, I will be with you not just to the apostles. I will be with you to the very end. That should stir up confidence. He's there. No, we can't see him with the physical eye. I know we have creatures that like to see. We can't see him with the physical eye. But we behold his presence with us by faith in what he has said. There's a sense of confidence. There's a sense of security. The sheep is at ease because of the shepherd. That's why the apostles could be so bold in the book of Acts when threatened. Why? They had a sense of security. We have a shepherd. They're not moved by one bit by threats. They just go to the shepherd and say, Lord, behold, Acts chapter 4. Lord, behold their threatening. Grant unto us the run and hide. No, grant unto us boldness that we would speak your word. It's that sense of security. Let me just elaborate just a little bit. Oh, actually, we did this last time on our physical being. Without rest, sickness will hang around a bit longer. Did you know that? Without rest, healing would take a bit longer. Without rest, your mental faculty will begin to wane. Without rest, the memory will begin to slip. Without rest, your immune system will begin to weaken. Without rest, we have to have it. Have to. We need rest. That's physical rest. But we also need spiritual rest. If we don't have physical rest, I said it a little while ago and I'll say it again, we are not going to be of much use to the shepherd. I don't know about you, but when I don't get a good night of sleep, if I only get a few hours, a couple hours, my brain doesn't work right. Ask the children. They'll tell you. I'll put the milk in the pantry, cereal in the refrigerator. My brain just doesn't work right. I said, Daddy, what are you doing? I'll be opening the oven for the refrigerator. I'm looking for something in the refrigerator. My brain just doesn't work right. Why? I haven't gotten enough what? Rest. The blood just not flowing right to my brain. You have to have it like physical eating, my friends. Spiritual eating is necessary. Like physical exercise and spiritual exercising is necessary. And like physical resting, spiritual resting is also necessary. Sheep has to rest in all that the shepherd is in himself. All that the shepherd is. That's his resting place. We used to sing that hymn, my soul has found a resting place. That resting place must be in the shepherd himself. His whole dependency, his whole security, his whole confidence must be in the shepherd and all of the shepherd's work on his behalf. That's what his resting place must be. Our security cannot be in our own safekeeping. I said it last time, I'll say it again. It doesn't matter how many boxes of ammo you have in your house. That can be your resting place, your security. Can't be in your alarm system. Can't be in how much you have in your bank account. Your security cannot be there. Or may I say, in those places. It must be in the shepherd himself. Our confidence cannot be in our own achievements. Can't have our confidence there. Our dependency cannot be in our own ability. Can't be there at all. Our complete rest must be in the shepherd that gives rest. That's why our resting has to be in the shepherd himself. Jesus said, I'm talking about Jesus, by the way, because that's, I believe that's who David is talking about. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You think he wants to give rest? Of course. Soul rest. Rest from our own workings. Rest from our own sinfulness. Rest in Jesus Christ. We don't have to try to earn God's favor. We can rest in the one who has already done that on our behalf. So he gives rest. But there's a second thing. A shepherd provides guidance. He provides guidance. Still in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down. Lush or green pastures. The shepherd has it. Notice the plural again. Pastures. The provision is there. Green pastures. It's all decked out for me. He's provided it all. The sheep did not provide that. The shepherd provided that for the sheep. But not only does he give these things, he provides also guidance. He leadeth me beside the still water. Sheep need to be led. They don't do well without a shepherd. They are prone to wander. They are prone to drift. Sometimes they are unaware that they have actually drifted. It happens in steps. Grazing, moving, grazing, moving, grazing, moving, and all of a sudden, you're away from the flock. You've drifted. We can just kind of bring this, I think, a little bit home to us. If we think about it, we say sometimes people fall, you know, into sin, and true in that sense, but you just don't fall into some horrific sin. Did you know that? It happens in steps. It seemed like it happened all at once, but it happens in steps. There is a build-up process, a building process that takes place. It's sometimes, maybe I should say it this way, it's been accruing over time. A little disobedience here, a little disobedience there. A little neglect of doing what we are called to do here, a little neglect of doing what we're called to do there. All of a sudden, nothing bothers us at all. It happens in little steps. Little steps lead to great falls. A little neglect of Bible reading here and a little neglect of Bible reading there, and all of a sudden the neglect of Bible reading doesn't bother us at all. Little bit at a time. A little neglect of prayer here and a little neglect of prayer there, and all of a sudden not praying doesn't bother us at all. Little steps. A little neglect of corporate worship here and a little neglect of corporate worship there, and all of a sudden, missing worship doesn't bother us at all. It happens in steps. The shepherd then, knowing these things, has to constantly keep watch over the sheep. Constantly. It's his duty, if I may say it that way. It's his duty to watch, to look over, to care for, to keep an eye on the sheep. There's danger out there. We'll talk about that next time. The shepherd, I trust, as protector. He has to keep constant watch. He has to know where the sheep is at all times. I tell you, they're prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the God we love. His is one of constant care. It is a wearying work, a time-consuming work, but a needed work. Shepherds could be worn out. Shepherds in churches as well could be worn out. We could apply these same things. But unlike earthly shepherds, David's shepherd, or our shepherd, is not weary in the work, neither is he weary of the work. He himself, we cannot wear God down. He's a shepherd who's constantly on watch. And you know one thing about it? He loves shepherding. He's constantly on the watch. We cannot wear him out or wear him down in any single way. He says this. Has thou not known? It's a question. Has thou not heard? What? Heard what? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He said, haven't you heard that? I'm not weary. I'm not worn down. I can't faint. I'm not losing steam or anything at all. Haven't you heard it? He said, there is no searching of his understanding. What? He giveth power to the faint. That's what a sheep needs, power. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that has no might, he increases strength. I don't grow weary. I'm the one actually helping the weary. We have a shepherd that has all strength because this shepherd has all power. He is the all-mighty. Oh, I love it. This is what, when sheep stray, when they drift from the flock, this is what wolves love. They love it. Wolves do a couple of things. They either come in and disrupt the flock, create a panic, or they just look for the one that have drifted and zero in on that one. Sheep need to be led. They need a shepherd. They have no defense mechanism except one, the shepherd. You have to be led, meaning they also have to know the voice of the shepherd. And they do. They know the voice of their shepherd. At the same time, it doesn't matter how good a shepherd is. Sheep still drift. Has nothing to do with the shepherd, per se. Israel, David, the church has a good shepherd, a great shepherd, a chief shepherd. But that does not mean sheep won't drift. That's why we have to eat the word. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So the shepherd provides this guidance, not only to the rest for the physical, and we said also the spiritual, but the shepherd also provides leadership, provides guidance. And as we said last time, by the still waters, we said fast moving waters are detrimental for sheep. They need still water. Just tumbling over in fast-moving water can cause a sheep its life. So the shepherd would make sure he provide, seek out, find, if you will, good pasture and still water. I love it. Shepherd providing for the sheep. He also provides restoration. He provides restoration. The shepherd provides restoration. After causing the sheep to lie down as well as drink, the sheep is now refreshed, rejuvenated, and revived. I hope you see the picture. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He causes me to rest. He even provides for me the green pastures, the still waters. I'm revived. Now I can move on. The sheep can continue to go on because he has been restored. Refresh. I hope you see it. The shepherd, again, who is self-sustained, is sustaining his sheep. That's what he's doing. He's keeping the sheep alive, if you will. He's keeping the sheep going, if you will. God does that for us spiritually. We can't keep ourselves going, per se. He continues to sustain us. Now we call it preservation of God, perseverance of the saints, responsibility and sovereignty at the same time. He's sustaining the sheep. I believe this psalm tells us something of the infinity of the shepherd. He's always the shepherd. He will never stop being the shepherd. You get the Revelation chapter 14, you have the lamb. But what else do you have? This entourage, what? Following him wherever he goes. Continually. The shepherd. Also tell us in chapter 22 of Revelation that I will feed them. Still shepherding. He sustains the sheep. Has an infinity portion of the shepherd. Also, because he's continual, there's no end to his shepherding, as we just said. We also can notice in this psalm that there's a sensitivity of the shepherd. What do I mean by that? He's sensitive to the need of the sheep. He does whatever it takes to meet the need. He's sensitive. He's familiar with the sheep. He knows the sheep. And he cares for the sheep. And he provides for the sheep. He's sensitive. He's a sensitive shepherd. But there's something else, I think. He's a creative shepherd. He has this creativity. Not only infinity and sensitivity, but he also has this creativity. He provides the lush grass and the watering. You got to be kind of creative. And he is. He creates the appropriate atmosphere for the sheep. This is the shepherd's responsibility, his obligation to guide the sheep, to provide for the sheep. That's his obligation. I'm not scared to use that word. He's obligated to guide, lead, care for, nourish, and protect the sheep. That's the shepherd's responsibility. But the sheep has a responsibility too. The sheep's responsibility or obligation is to follow, submit, and obey the shepherd. That's the sheep. That's the sheep's responsibility. The reason the shepherd is providing welcoming rest and watering refreshment is so that the sheep, as I said earlier, can live, can be sustained. We're not talking about four-legged creatures per se. We're talking about his people. Without physical rest and restoration, it's hard to carry out spiritual activities. I'm going to say that one more time. Without physical rest and restoration, it's hard to carry out spiritual activities as we should. We have to have it. I think my voice is fading. The shepherd leads his sheep. The shepherd restores or refreshes the soul of his sheep. And the shepherd also leads in the path of righteousness. We have to receive the shepherd. Oh, come on, Clarence. You sound like I'm in here. Really? We have to receive the shepherd. We have to welcome the shepherd. John chapter 1 says something similar, doesn't it? Many as what? Received. That's just to lay hold of. Receive him. To them he gave power to become children or sons of God. Not just the Israel or Judah, but those who receive him. We must receive the shepherd. We must welcome the shepherd. The shepherd receives sinners and sinners receive the shepherd. That's sovereignty. And yes, that's responsibility. If we didn't believe that, I think some words sometimes as reformed people, we're scared to use for some reason. Such as the word receive. If that's the case, we need to quit singing some of the hymns we sing. Like, Jesus, I do now what? Receive him. More and all in him. I find he has granted me forgiveness. I am his and he is mine. We sing it. Got to receive the shepherd. But he leads us also. Not only does he restore the soul, excuse me, seem to be parallel somewhat to he maketh me lie down. And he leadeth me in the path of righteousness, which seemed to be parallel to he leadeth me beside still water. Notice something. The shepherd is doing all of this. The shepherd is the one in control, per se. He's doing it all. He provides for my wants. He causes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I love this third person. He. The psalmist is just talking about his shepherd. That's all he's doing. He's just telling you about his shepherd. Let me tell you what my shepherd does for me. He didn't say we or us. He said me. I'm telling you what he does for me. That's what he's doing. We could apply that to us. He restoreth my soul because he's my shepherd. And he leads me in paths of righteousness. He puts me in the right path. Why? Because I need to be led. Because if he doesn't put me in the right path, I will be going in the wrong path. He does it for his name's sake. Why does Solomon then say he does this for my good? It is for his good. What is he just? He does this for me. He is doing it for the psalmist. He does it for us as well. He said the reason he's doing it is because of his name's sake. His name is tied to all of this. Well, God does many things for his name's sake. He holds back his anger for his name's sake. For my name's sake. Will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Isaiah 48. I've held it back for my name's sake. You don't deserve it, but I held it back for my name's sake. And I find myself saying something, when I would say, Lord, we don't deserve one drop of your mercy. The fact that it's mercy means it's undeserved. Well, that's what it means. It's undeserved because it's mercy. I said, Clarence, why would you say we don't deserve your mercy? He's given mercy. That means it's automatically you don't deserve it. But no, we don't deserve one drop of anything from God. Any good thing. There's some things we do deserve from God. Thankfully, he hadn't given them to us. Everlasting punishment. Cast off from his presence forever. Eternally miserable. But actually, we deserve to be miserable in time before we get to eternity. That's what we deserve. We deserve every drop of misery in this life. Every drop. I know, really, we don't believe that. We really don't believe God should just withhold every drop of mercy and give us every misery in this world because we deserve it. We don't deserve to be a nation, but we're still a nation. He leads and guides because of his name. He leads and guides because of his name. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. It's all for his name's sake. God is determined to get glory to his name. Even in the deliverance. Even in withholding his anger. Even in withholding his wrath. It's for his name's sake. Be no loss to God, per se, if he just poured out his fury on the whole world. He doesn't need anything. Be so thankful that he's so kind not to do such a thing. Because sometimes we paint a picture of God as a big monster. He's so kind. We generally don't reflect on the kindness of God, the love of God, the tenderness of God, the patience of God with the world. Generally don't reflect on those things. We do reflect when things don't go our way. I withhold my anger. I lead. I guide. Because of my name's sake. He delivers for the sake of his name. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, listen to it. Thus saith the Lord God. I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen. We don't even have to go any further. You have profaned my name among the heathen, but I'm going to bring you out, not for your sake, but for my own name's sake. Which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I am sanctified and you before their eyes. That's mercy. That's mercy through and through. I'm not doing it for you or for your sake. I'm doing it for my sake. Part of that is his faithfulness to his own promise. I don't know how much more voice I have. He will not forsake his people because of his name. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. First Samuel. I'm not going to do it because my name is tied to it. God will hold up his name no matter what happens. He's going to hold up his name. He's going to maintain his faithfulness. He's going to carry out everything that reflects his character. That's not going to fail. It's like what Apostle Paul said. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? He cannot deny himself. He won't do it. So the shepherd restores the soul and he leads in the right path, and it's all for his name's sake. And David is delighted to talk about his shepherd because he finds all sufficiency in him. He finds everything he needs in that shepherd. His completeness is in the shepherd. His incompleteness is outside of the shepherd, but he has everything in the shepherd. So do you, if you're in Jesus Christ. You got everything in the shepherd. You lack nothing. Nothing. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness, we have. Outside of Christ, the soul is restless. There is no peace, no spiritual peace to the wicked as long as they hang outside of Jesus Christ. No peace, no rest. We'll always be searching for something to satisfy in this world, and you can't find it. You can't find it anywhere on planet Earth. The soul satisfaction is outside. It's in another. It's in Jesus Christ. You can't find your complete satisfaction in your spouse. You can't find complete satisfaction in your children. You can't find complete satisfaction in your job. You can't find complete satisfaction anywhere except in Jesus. The wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest. Running here, running there, running here. You know how it was when you were outside of Christ, your BC days before Christ? You try to find satisfaction here, and then you got tired of that. You went to something else, and you got tired of that. You went to this way, and you got tired of that. You couldn't find satisfaction anywhere. Anywhere. Soul fulfillment anywhere. There's only one resting place. That resting place is Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, the heavenly shepherd. Calvin puts it like this. He said, a heavenly shepherd had omitted nothing which might contribute to make him, that is the psalmist, live happily under his care. Did you hear that? I love the language. He has omitted nothing which might contribute to make him live happily under the shepherd's care. And that's what the shepherd does. Jesus, the great shepherd, the lovely Lord, has done everything to make us, if I may put it that way, eternally happy. And we experience that in time. That shepherd has cared for us in such a way. That shepherd has come and lived for us. I've said before, and I say it again, in the Old Testament, the sheep would die for the shepherd. But in the New Testament, we have something different. The shepherd dies for the sheep. Jesus would pour out his life blood after living the life we could not live and dying that death that we should have died and rising again. So that we would be acquitted before Almighty God and ascending up into glory, representing us at the throne of heaven and promising to come back. And as actually has promised to come back to receive us unto himself. That where he is, we may be also. Jesus went to prepare that place. And we'll see later on in the psalm, there's a prepared place that the shepherd is doing right here in the psalm. Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back again. We have to believe that. We have to believe that. We have to believe that Jesus is coming back. We have to believe this book is real. We have to believe what God says is true. If not so, let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die. There's nothing to live for. If that's all we have, we may be an inch from a war. If we may be an inch from World War III, when we have many countries, the countries actually involved with nuclear weapons that can kill millions of people at one time. We don't know what's going to happen, but our resting place can't be in our military. Our resting place must be in the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ himself. Well, I'm going to stop here. Excuse me. I should have turned the mic off. Well, may the Lord help us to see, like David, that our shepherd, the great Yahweh, the great covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, the one who promised and the one who fulfills, because he's our shepherd, we shall lack nothing. And because he's our shepherd, he grants us rest, physical as well as spiritual. And because he's our shepherd, he will lead us, because we won't make it unless he leads us. We're prone to wonder. And because he's our shepherd, he refreshes and restores the soul. He revives us because we need reviving. Think about when you're dry, you seem quite dead. You read the scriptures when the scriptures should have read you, and you feel like nothing. Got to go back and read it again. Got to shake yourself. Try to work that discipline up. Say, Lord, revive me, refresh me, refresh me. And he does it. He does it. He restores that soul and he leads in the path of righteousness, the right path for his name's sake. We dare not be like the children of Israel when God said in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, here is the way, walk ye in it. Here's the path right here and you shall find rest for your soul. And they came back and said, we will not walk therein. We will not do it. Lord, help us to walk with the shepherd. May we own the shepherd, saying he's mine because I'm his. And may we be refreshed in our souls because of the glory, the loveliness, the wonder, the praise, the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you again for all things that you've given to us. Thank you for Jesus the Christ. Thank you that he's our shepherd. And thank you, our Father, you've made us sheep, sheep of your pasture. We are the work of your hands. Lord, help us to enter your gates with thanksgiving and enter your courts with praise and to be thankful. God, make us more of a thankful people. May we treasure the shepherd. May we lay hold of the shepherd, welcoming the shepherd, loving the shepherd, bowing to the shepherd, submitting to the shepherd. Help us, O our God, we pray. Now hear our cry. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God be with you till we meet again.